Alaska commuter pilots fly into airports that can consist of a gravel strip and not much else. Asked by the National Transportation Safety Board to estimate the percentage of community landing strips her company used that don't have the regular set of aviation services like weather and communications, Haglin Aviation Services chief pilot Aaron Witt responded, about 25%.
So just to clarify, a pilot on the ground at one of those airports would have no way to talk to his company, flight service, any online weather services that he might want to. None of that would be available to him at 25% of the airports he service. Is that fair?
So sorry, my 25 to 30% number, I was speaking about infrastructure, not about our pilot cell phones that we offer to the pilots. So if we add the pilot cell phones in there, I'm going to say it probably looks more like 5 to 15% of the airports that we service.
That left 10% without anything, not even cell phone connections, to get the latest weather information and other services that are part of the standard aviation safety net in the lower 48, where commuter air accidents are much lower than Alaska. Everyone present wanted better aviation weather and instrument capacities throughout the state. But when talking about the challenges facing Alaska, the syndrome that seemed to recur throughout the day-long fact-finding mission was the, quote, Alaska bush pilot culture, the image of the pilot that pushes his plane to the edge of performance to fly in difficult places as a frontier hero. That was underscored by the accident that destroyed a Raven plane October 2nd on the slopes of Caribou Ridge, just 14 miles from Togiak. There were two Raven planes flying from Quinnahawk to Togiak that day. They left just 10 minutes apart. One ended up destroyed on the steep sides of a mountain, killing all three on board. The other flew the same route, just a few miles further southwest from the mountain, to avoid weather, and arrived in Togiak safely. Clint Weiss of the Federal Aviation Administration.
A carrier like Haglin or Haglin needs to really look at and duplicate is the pilot that deviated to the south and west and figure out why that pilot did what that and duplicate that throughout their organization, because that was the right decision to make that day. That's the key, is to duplicate that behavior and figure out what that is.
Deke Abbott, also with the FAA, added that it's the pilot who flies by the rules that lands safely.
At some point, we have to say that if you want to be in this profession, then the rules have a reason. You know, almost all the rules were written because of something bad that's happened. And if you want to be in this profession, this is the behavior that you must display on everything.
It's also clear that some rules need work. Haglin has equipped its planes with all sorts of safety gear, including a terrain awareness warning system that alerts pilots if they're getting too close to the ground. The problem is the regulations require small commuter flights use a system designed for planes flying at 1,000 feet or more altitude. The system starts sounding alarms at 700 feet. These planes can legally fly as low as 500 feet, so commuter pilots tend to turn off what they call nuisance alarms. There is equipment that would go down to 500 feet, but that is not the type required by regulations for these commuter flights. The aviation terrain in Alaska is also better on paper than it is in reality. Witt said Haglin looked into instrument flight capacity in the region around the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta and found lots of holes in areas where there was supposed to be coverage.
Either communication or navigation equipment that we think is operational isn't necessarily operational. Again, if you look at it on paper, it can appear to be a lot more adequate than it actually is.
No one who testified indicate they would support additional regulations. Instead, Alaska Federal Aviation Administration personnel supported the Medallion Program, a voluntary industry nonprofit group working to help airlines improve training and safety procedures. There was anecdotal evidence indicating the volunteer program was making the skies safer, but the FAA did not have any data supporting that assertion, despite 15 years of grant support from Medallion. The National Transportation Safety Board investigation is ongoing. The final report on the Togiak accident may be completed in a year. I'm Johanna Urich.